is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Well, the Flaming Lips band wants to live forever, that's for sure. I'm here with Lynn Scherr in for Celeste Headlee on this Friday.
Good morning, Lynn. Do you want to live
forever? You know, it's an interesting question. I think we're going to contemplate it probably this whole hour. Our movie segment is about time travel, so that raises the issue one way or another. I love how we had to rush the guy off the air who does the research on centenarians and people living to 100 there at the top of the hour before the break. But we're going to get into this discussion fully this morning. New research on life expectancy show that there's an even chance that babies born today in America and in the developed world will live to be 100. One in 2. Got us wondering, if you knew you were going to live to be 100 years old, how would you live your life differently? Do you have an answer to that question, Lynn?
I would have saved all my comics.
Tell us at 8778-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. We welcome back James Vappel. He's the founding director of the Max Planck Institute for Demographic Research in Rostock, Germany. He's a professor at Duke University on the line from Edinburgh. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Also with us, my friend, but someone who knows all about this from a more experiential standpoint, Nina Ellis, author, radio producer, documentarian, manager of the public radio station WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio, who's talked to how many centenarians have you talked to in your reporting on this subject, Nina?
I think I talked to 25 to 30 people, visited them mostly in their own homes, and it was around the year 2000 when I did my research, John.
All right, great. Then Nina Ellis, hold on for a second. James Vappel, can you give me a sense of the broad statistics and the discoveries that you've made and the most important things that people should take from the study that was released yesterday?
The most important thing is that people are living longer because we're living longer healthy, and that there's a period of debility and senescence at the end of life, but it's being postponed to higher and higher ages. So people can not only look forward, young children can not only look forward to becoming centenarians, but they can look forward to having 90 or 95 years of pretty good health.
And this is a new experience for, for this generation, it may be more common, but for the people who are 100 now, it's a relatively new experience. Here's a woman named Elsa Hoffman, who's 102 years old.
And no one in my family has ever reached 90. And then when I reached 90, I thought, this is the epitome. But then it got to be 95 and 100 and now 102. 100 seems to be almost normal now.
Elsa Hoffman, my grandmother, Beatrice Hockenberry, lived to 102. Is 100, James Vappel, the new normal?
Well, it's a new expectation for newborn children today, but of course future generations can expect to live even longer.
Hmm. Nina Ellis, the individuals that you've talked to, the 25 or so with centenarians, do they think about what they might have done differently if they knew at age 30 or age 20 that they were going to live to be 100?
No. I mean, many of them said exactly what your guest there said. They had no idea they were going to live to 100. When they were born, John, many of them, around 1898, 1900, life expectancy for adults in this country was 48 years. Mm-hmm. So they were astonished, to live to 80, 90. They were, this was the notion of planning to live to be 100 is something that they just couldn't comprehend.
Well, listen to Dr. Will Clark, who's 105 years old in Arizona. He's a retired dentist.
We have essentially had no real health problems all our lives. Now we're getting them, but up until now, we've lived a real healthy, pain-free life.
Well, James Vappel, up until now, if now means 105 and he's been healthy for 100 years, are you saying that this period of decline at the end of life is becoming shorter?
No, it's not becoming shorter, but it's being pushed out to higher and higher ages. So many people today start getting sick and debilitated around 80 or 90. Not the centenarians, they're pioneers in the advancing frontier of survival, but most people. But in the future, for our children, they'll first get sick, maybe debilitated around 90 or 95.
And that raises another question. Nina Ellis, for you, did any of the individuals that you interviewed say, well, they'd rather not have gone this far, that somehow there were problems, they'd just as soon have, slipped away a little bit earlier?
The things that bothered them were losing their friends and family. But most of them that I talked to, and I was looking for that healthy cohort, there were a third of the centenarians had never had a major illness. So they were, you know, doing quite well and social and happy. They often did, though, say that it was very difficult to outlive their family and friends, and sometimes even their children.
James Vappel, and that's Nina Ellis, of course, author and documentarian of The Experience of Centenarians. What's the name of your book, Nina?
If I Live to Be 100.
Right. Very and great experiences and stories of people who've had this experience. James Vappel, you know, on this issue of loneliness, with the birth rates of other countries and other cultures in the world, translating 100 years in the future, those developed world American 100-year-olds are going to be some lonely folks, aren't they?
No. The people are going to be living longer, and there'll be much less death at younger ages. So the 100-year-old people, as long as they have children and their children have children, they'll have an extended family of several generations. And I think that life will be terrific for them in this extended setting. Now, it is true that some people are not having children, but usually they have relatives who have children and they have friends. And it's true that today centenarians have lost most of their friends and relatives and have lost even some of their children.
Right.
But in the future, when everyone, not everyone, but when most people are living past 100, that won't be the case anymore.
You know, let's just, before we go, get to the fun part. Would you have wanted to live for 100 years in this century, or maybe 100 years in the future, or 200 years ago, Nina Ellis?
Yes, I have to say yes. My grandmother lived to just short of 100, and she was healthy pretty close to the end. And, knowing what I know now, I would want to live to be 100.
And James Vappel, what century would you pick, quickly?
Right now. I'd love to live to 100 right now.
All right. Well, we will...
Just for the chance to see our children and grandchildren and great-greats, you know?
If Ajax is going to live to 100, I want to live there to be 150. James Vappel, founding director of the Max Planck Institute for Demographic Research, and Nina Ellis, author, documentarian, and manager of public radio station WYSO. Living to 100, what do you think?